Hey, everybody. Welcome to the, the fourth Snowcross podcast now. My name is Chris Hockey. Glad to be doing this for you to keep you updated on what's going on in the world of Snowcross. We do it every weekend, or I should say every week after a race weekend. And this past race weekend was Deadwood, my favorite stop on the tour. And I don't even mean just for the racing. I love going to the Black Hills area. If you've not visited there with your families, I encourage you to do so. If you've only gone there for the racing, I encourage you to go back as well. I took spring break with my daughter Abigail, 13 years old, and we spent some time there last year and just had a blast. So a great area, and the weekend's racing was fantastic, specifically in the AMSOIL Pro Open class, but every class was fun. The FXR Sport class on Saturday was unbelievable. The Pro Light division, even though Elias dominated this weekend, the racing was fantastic. It's a track I know the racers don't like as much, but as a fan, my goodness, do I love that racetrack. Today, we'll talk a little bit about that and much, much more with one of the owners of Hinchus Racing. Nate Hinchus is on the phone with me. Hi, Nate. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Hawk. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. It's good to talk to you. Now, we'll talk to you not only about all the things good and bad that happened for you guys this weekend in Deadwood, but I want to get to know you a little better as a person and your team and the entire organization a little bit better and what it's like to run a big-time snowcross racing team. So, first of all, I introduced you as one of the owners of Hinchus Racing. Is that correct? Are you the sole owner? Are you one of the owners of a family-owned business? Talk to me about that.
Actually, yeah. My family started here in 2000 with a snowcross team. My brother got started coming from dirt bikes. We got into snowmobiles because we also own a construction company. So that's what you do in the winter. You got a little more time. And we got on snowmobiles and started doing that. It was a ton of fun. So I ended up started racing the following year, too. So it was my brother and I and racing. And then my parents would be at the track, obviously. Dad would drive the semi, and Mom would do all the cooking. And my older brother, Jared, would run the groomer and build the snowcross tracks at home. And that all kind of evolved into more as the team progressed. We took on pros, another semi, and it got to be a very large, successful program, and we had a ton of fun doing it. Since then, both my brother and I have obviously don't race anymore, so I actually bought out the rest of the family, am the sole owner, and have turned it into just purely business side of it.
Interesting. So at what point and why did you decide not to pursue continue being a racer?
Well, kind of the same scenario we're in right now. It's a ton of fun to race. It's a huge commitment. I was still going to college at that time, so to put in the effort that you really need to do to be super successful, the writing was on the wall that I could still be involved and have more fun on the owning and managing side of the business side of sports. That's really a ton of fun. So I made the decision to kind of step away from the racing, and it was also a year after a major injury that I had by shattering an ankle and basically found a better way to be involved.
Yeah, it's a lot less physical being the owner, I'm going to guess. That makes sense, and especially after the weekend you guys had. And we'll talk more about that in a moment, and your drivers, obviously Peter Narsa and Cody Kam, and how you find those guys and what you're going to do for the rest of the season, how Peter's doing, all that jazz. But again, Nate Hinchus is my guest, and we're just getting to know a little bit about it. I'm going to ask you some questions because it's a podcast. You can obviously feel free to say, I don't feel comfortable answering that, or you can answer them in a way that you do feel comfortable, whatever. But I'm going to ask you some questions I've always wanted to know. So just roll with me if you don't mind, Nate, okay?
Fire away.
All right, good. Is owning a professional snowcross team a profitable enterprise, or do you do it more for fun than profit?
I can't say that there's a lot of profit involved. It's a lot of fun. Obviously I still show up on Mondays and do the construction, and that lasts even weekends. I'd like it to be profitable. Mm-hmm. It's kind of treading water, but it's a ton of fun. And, when we win, it makes it all worthwhile. But then times like this weekend, it's like, beating your head against the concrete.
Yeah, I bet. And again, what he's talking about, Cody Kam's out for the year with the shoulder injury. And then Peter Narsa this weekend had a bad crash, and I believe, let's update that right away, and we'll come back to it a little bit more, but bruised lung and bruised ribs, did he break anything in there? What's the update on that?
He did, yeah. He's got one broken rib and another bruised rib and a bruised lung.
My goodness.
He's not sitting real good.
I would guess it's hard to breathe for him about right now, and I know it was scary before you got the x-rays and such like that, because there was a possibility you might have thought it was a little bit worse than that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There were rumors and concerns of a possibility of a punctured lung, but thankfully that all checked out.
Man, he got hit from behind while, did he come off the sled and get run over? What happened? Do you know?
No, looking at the replay, it looks like he and Ryan Springer were, you know, just after the start of purely racing incident, but they were both going for kind of the same spot in the corner, and at pro speeds, that's a pretty high speed, and they came together, and when they came together, Springer's handlebar got him basically right square in the back, kind of right behind your rib cage in the back, and he stayed on the sled, so when he came off the track, I kind of gave it a minute and looked and, you know, thought maybe he was taking a flag out of his ski or something like that. And then when I went to see why he wasn't up yet, he was actually laying on the ground, so I knew more was going on.
Goodness. Yeah, well, thank God he's going to be all right. Last thing, and then we'll come back to it again a little bit later, but do we have a prognosis as far as how long he needs to be out? Is it a personal thing for his, how long he can deal with the pain and how quickly he comes back? Is there a doctor order saying you can't come back to this point?
Well, that's the thing with ribs. You know, there's really not a whole lot you can do with them. It's going to take a little bit of time to get the pain to a manageable level. So right now, he will not be racing X and likely not New York, but we'll see what happens there. But he should be back by Michigan for sure, is kind of what we're thinking. I can't say it's going to be pain-free, but
yeah,
we're here to race.
Yeah, well, give him our best wishes and hope the recovery is quick, and I'm glad it's not worse than it was. And again, we'll talk more about that as we get to the race in a second. Back to the business side of it. Again, Nate Hentges is my guest, Chris Hockey Snowcross Podcast here. In general terms, when you look at the season, how much does it cost to run a two-sled team? If you could give me it can be a ballpark answer, but how many thousands of dollars does it cost you? Do you need to bring in order to be profitable?
To run a two-sled team at a high level, you know, with Polaris helps out with lots of obviously parts and
sure,
machines and that nature. If you throw all that in there with salaries, it's unfortunately around $1 million.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because you got the big truck, obviously, but that's a one-time expense. You got to keep up with it. But you got gas to get to every race. You got crew you got to get to every race. You've got to pay the riders, the racers. You got to pay the crew. You got to keep up with technology. You got to buy broken parts. You got to replace them. Boy, and rooms, too. Let's talk about that. You got to buy hotel rooms at every race. Man, that's a lot. So, obviously, there's money to be won if you make the final, if you win the race, if you're on the podium and such. But I would guess a lot of that comes from the sponsors. In fact, I would guess the greater percentage of the money that comes in comes from your sponsors. And that's got to be the part every year where you pull your hair out a little bit, is trying to make sure you come up with great sponsors to meet those financial demands.
Yep, that's absolutely. There's a lot of pounding the pavement and a lot of getting creative on different ways to give more to the sponsors for more return. It's definitely challenging.
I bet. So let's give them some love a little bit. Who are your main sponsors for your team?
Well, Polaris, obviously, we work hand-in-hand with them. We do quite a bit with them. Pertec, you know, they've come on strong here. I've been with them for probably about 12 years now, but they're getting on board with the series and really taking a big love to Snowcross. FXR is fantastic. You know, they keep us warm and with the best clothing on the circuit by far. So it's really the guys like that keep us rolling.
Yeah, to keep you rolling down the road. Can you go to Polaris and say, guys, here's what is going on with their sled that Cody wishes was different? Can you go to them and say, we'd like you to try this, and they actually take your feedback and change things up a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what the advantage of the pro class is. We do a lot of the development ourselves and testing, and we try so many different things that when it does work, we do go to players and say, hey, we've had a lot of success with this. And whether it's a small change that they can implement or a large one, if it works out financially to put it in production, that then the stock guys get to use. You know, they do a lot of the steering components over the years have all been developed right in our trailer.
No kidding. Well, yeah, and that's a fascinating part of the sport that I think translates to every form of motorsports, is if it works on Sunday, they want to put it into production to make it some version of it on their stock sleds. You see that a lot, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When it comes to your actual racers, and let's just talk about the two you've got right now. You've got Cody Kam, who one of the great young faces of our sport, obviously out now and injured, but somebody that probably has one of the top three, maybe top five for sure, maybe top three fan bases in all of our sport. You got Peter Narsa, who is relatively new to our circuit, and you found him from overseas. How do you, as a team owner, go about finding the talent and securing them for your team?
Well, you know, being in the industry for so long, we've you know, met a number of people all over the world in the different snowcross series. Between relationships that we have, we kind of keep tabs on various people, and working truthfully closely with Polaris on the same thing. You know, they have sources all over the world too that say, hey, this guy's looking good, or you know, they support him over there in overseas, and then when the timing is right, or we need somebody to quick get on a plane and come over and fill in for a couple of weeks, we make those calls and see what works out best.
Which is exactly what you're doing now that Peter is out and Cody Kam is out for the season. You're bringing somebody in.
Yes, we are. We're bringing Marcus Johansson. He's actually talked to him Saturday morning. He started packing his bag and is on a flight right now to meet up with the team in Denver to go up the hill to Aspen tonight.
Will he be racing at the X Games or just hanging out with the team?
Nope, he's absolutely racing. He'll be racing that one and New York for sure.
Tell me about the relationship. Did you have an existing relationship with him before, or is this something completely new?
No, we know him a little bit. You know, we haven't worked with him a lot in the past, but, you know, we have a comfort level with him, and we know he has a talent that we want to bring over and see what he can do.
I hope I'm not wrong on this. Did he not break a leg in Chicago last year? Is that not right?
That is correct.
Yeah, yes. Okay. That's what I thought. Yes. So he's very familiar with our series, very fast, but was he somebody that as soon as all this went down, you said to yourself, there's a guy on my radar? Or like you said, did you go to Polaris and say, who do you think we should bring over?
No, he's always been on the radar. You know, when he was here, we saw a lot of good things out of him. And then this year, he's running Polaris over in Sweden. And we just followed up with him to see kind of how his healing had gone, and we heard all the right things from him and from others on how he was doing and how he was feeling, and gave him the nod.
That's cool. I know that part of the reason that we do the broadcast online is because there are so many people all over the world that tune in to watch AMS Oil Championship Snowcross powered by Ram. It's astounding to see the numbers and the tweets and such like that from people in Sweden and all over the place. I'm sure you've traveled over there and spent some time over there. Is it even bigger in Europe and so on, snowcross itself, than it is in the Americas?
It's different. You know, they take a lot of passion to it. The tracks are a little different, but as far as kind of the rigs and the pit area, the paddock area, you know, the U.S. side is bigger on that aspect. But there's still a lot of talent over there, and they take a ton of passion to it. So it's a lot of fun to see.
Again, Nate Hinchis is my guest. He owns Hinchis Racing, Cody Kam, and Peter Narsa, and now, of course, bringing in another racer to finish out the season for them since those two guys are injured. Peter, hopefully, will be back sometime soon. So you got X Games this weekend. Are you going out there? Are you going to attend yourself?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'll head out Wednesday morning, and we actually race Thursday this year.
What's the X Games like? I've never been. Obviously, I've watched on television, but is it just are there parties everywhere all the time, and then you have racing going on as well?
You know, there kind of is. The problem is we don't get to partake in any of those because we're all there for work, unfortunately.
Yeah. But it seems like it'd just be a fantastic atmosphere.
It is. It's a ton of fun.
Does snowcross get a lot of respect from the other competitors out there?
Yeah, they do. You know, the thing with X Games is, for all the competitors, they look at what we do and say, you guys are crazy. I'd never do that. Mm. And then we look at the guys that are in the superpipe or, you know, the downhill ski jumps and flying down, flying through the air on skis. We look at them and be like, you guys are crazy. There's no way we'd do that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of mutual respect for everybody out there.
Couple more minutes with Nate. Again, dude, I appreciate your time. I knew it was a big weekend for you guys for not so positive reasons, but it's big news. And also, I love to look inside what you do for a living and, you know, the inner workings of a giant team. How many people do you take with you, non-drivers, every weekend to go to a race?
Non-drivers, there is going to be another six of us that are along for the core team every week.
And that includes mechanics and logistical people as well?
Yep, absolutely. We have each driver has their own mechanic that's dedicated to their equipment. Then we have Tim Bender, that is our team manager, Sean Ray, who keeps tabs on all of our engines and clutching setups. Then we have Casey Kaplanik, who does all of our truck driving and making sure we got all the parts that we need on hand and organized. And then we also have a couple of social media people that come along too. Tyler does all the videos and pictures for the team. And then added Becky this year too. She does manages all the social media and that presence.
I noticed that when we travel around as sport, and I love the fact that the entire crew, all the racers, everybody, basically, we travel everywhere together. It's one big moving family from place to place each year. One of the things from my time working with NASCAR and working in stock cars and such like that, that a lot of the teams don't do as much in AMS Oil Championship Snowcross is sell a lot of memorabilia, a lot of T-shirts and a lot of hats for each teams and such like that. Is that a spot that you agree that our sport could maybe do a little better job of doing, or is that just a situation where you don't think it would be a very profitable franchise for what you do?
There's only a couple of people or teams out there that can really sell enough merchandise to make merchandising profitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a large headache to take on.
That's what I thought.
And to do it at a loss is, although it's great to have your name out there and everything like that, it's just tough to continue beating your head against the wall at a loss.
Hmm.
But the good thing is the way the team is rolling and the fan base that's building for Cody is that's something that will be on our radar in the future.
Yeah, I wondered, and that's why you guys spend so much time, as you mentioned twice there, about social media. That has become for this generation, and that's, you know, who we're concerned about it. We are, with the X Games style nature of our sport, social media is a huge part of the advertising for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how the sports scenes have changed in the last, you know, every year it evolves, but even in the last 5-6 years, what it has become. But it's become a very, very valuable asset to sponsors.
Especially in such a visual sport. I mean, I see the amount of views we get on these YouTube posts we do every weekend after the races. It's pretty incredible. And that's a great tool for us and another way we can continue to expand our sport. I'm asking you this off the top of your head, so it's okay if you don't have an answer that comes right to mind, but what could be done better, in your opinion, to make AMS Oil Championship Snowcross better for a team owner like yourself and a team like yourself?
Oh, there's... That's a full question.
Yeah, I'm sure that it is. And feel free to edit yourself any way you want or take your time and give me a lot of answers, because this is an interesting aspect. You guys are what, if we don't have teams like Hinchas Racing, we don't have a sport. What could be better for you?
Well, basically just any ways we can do to keep the cost down for the teams is always a help. If we could do a little more payouts for the drivers too, that would help too, because that would, you know, kind of maybe help soften some of our contracts too. But basically the thing is to just, and ISOC is doing a good job about this, but getting more fans to the track every week, because those numbers help our sponsors too.
Yeah.
Kind of those things that, the more fans that are seeing it and the more fans that are there helps everybody all around.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we have seen, for instance, at Deadwood on Saturday night, they had to close the doors. They couldn't let anybody else in because they were way past fire code. That's a huge development for us.
I did not hear that. That's great to hear. I knew it was full, but I didn't know they were turning them away.
Nate, there were people, we kept putting the camera on them. There were people lining the street outside of the stadium so they could see the big screen to watch the race. That's how packed we were on Saturday night.
Yeah, I did see that. I didn't realize they wouldn't let them through the gate, though. That's great.
They had completely sold out. So, yeah, again, and the coverage, and I think the job that Ray and everybody does with the CBS Sports Network program has been great. Have you been a fan of what you're seeing on television as well?
Yeah. You know, they really do a great job. You know, they have a great crew, and they really do put a fantastic product out every week.
All right.
The live streaming is second to none.
No, the live stream, again, is always unbelievable how many viewers we get. Last thing here, and this is a tricky question as well, so I hate to continue to put you in bad spots, but, you know, that's what I do for a living. I can't help myself. Oh, your
friends
are in. If you got to answer, you go ahead.
No, that's all right.
You sure?
Yep.
All right, good. I didn't. You never know. I mean, it might be Cody Kam saying my shoulder feels better. Let's go racing. You never know, right?
That I would answer.
Yeah, you certainly would. This is an odd question and a tough spot to put you in, but I'm gonna go ahead anyway. Is the domination of Tucker Hibbert good or bad for our sport?
Tucker's a fantastic athlete, and you can't take anything away from him. You really can't. But it's tough when one guy goes out and wins every weekend, and you know the fans start tuning out because they know the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing we had rolling for us is that wasn't happening with Cody when he was healthy. He was winning the Canterbury race and pulling away from Tucker, and it was creating a ton of drama and fantastic for the sport. Unfortunately, you know, he won't be out there the rest of the year. But it's not the best, but I can't take anything away from him because he puts in his homework, and that team is phenomenal. They work hard. They're a great group of guys. But all in all for the sport, I can't say it's good.
Yeah, no, agreed. And you said that perfectly. And you know, I know Tucker's answer is the right answer. Find a way to beat me. What do you think it is, though, that has set them apart? Is it that Tucker is such a great racer? Is that the team is so great? Is it a combination of the two? Do you have an answer for me on that?
It's definitely a combination of the two. You know, Tucker's was born into snowmobile racing. And everything they do revolves around him and his riding style, and they built that whole Arctic Cat that way, and it works. And so from the sled being, you know, fantastically set up for him, to the team that does a ton of hard work, you know, they're a fantastic team. They've got a lot of knowledge there, and they work hard. You know, they're always out there testing. And then you got Tucker, who's relentless at his work ethic as well. So it's a combination of everything, and he's absolutely right. You got to find a way to beat him, and that's what our job is.
Yeah.
And we got to find ways to do it. And we had gotten there. You know, we beat him at Duluth. We were on the way to do it at Canterbury, but unfortunately, you know, it went south in a hurry.
Yeah.
But that's racing.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, talking about Tucker as well, thank God our dominator, the guy who has been the 9-time champion of our sport, he is dominant, and it does sometimes take away the luster. But the fact that he is so good to the fans, signing autographs and always out there, man, does that help us a lot.
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely does.
Nate, thank you for so much time, man. I appreciate it. I've kept you for 22 minutes. I told you 10 minutes. I lied to you, but I had a million questions for you, and I got a million more. So we'll have to do it again sometime, okay?
Anytime, Hawk.
We will talk to you we'll watch you at the X Games, and we will talk to you in New York in a couple of weeks, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Good luck, man. Thank you very much. All right. See you later. There goes Nate Hinches, the owner of Hinches Racing, Cody Kam and Peter Narsa. Of course, a tough weekend for both those guys. I talked to Cody a couple of times in passing, and after the shoulder surgery, he was hurting for certain. And we heard from Peter about Peter there. That's a tough injury. Listen, great stuff from Nate. He answered all the tough questions, and I do appreciate it. I hate to put people on spots like that, but I think they're interesting questions. It's tough to be a team owner and to see Tucker go out and win every weekend when you're trying your hardest. But as we said, find a way to beat him. That's what everybody's trying to do. Thanks for tuning in to the Snowcross Podcast. Again, 2 weeks from now, we continue this great series. We go to New York. I love Salamanca, New York. And make sure you tune in, not only on the live broadcast, but always check out the CBS Sports Network coverage. Local time here in Minnesota, 9 o'clock on CBS Sports Network on Saturday mornings. There's various repeats as well. But wherever you're at, if you're listening on the East Coast, it's 10. Obviously, out west, you've got your different time zones. But for those of you listening predominantly here in the Central United States time zone, 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings on the CBS Sports Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. And I will, later this week, by the way, here on snowcross.com, be podcasting for you a small interview I did with Ryan Springer, rookie in the Amsoil Pro Open Division, that I thought was fun. And this was Saturday before the races, standing in the broadcast booth. I just happened to have my equipment right there, and I said, hey, let's do a quick interview. And I asked him a lot of questions about what it was like moving from Pro Light to Pro Open, the difference between the sleds, the difference in the workout and actually doing the racing. I thought it was a lot of fun. I'll post that at some point later this week as well, a little bonus Snowcross podcast. My name is Chris Hockey. I really thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. God bless, everybody.